Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk more about Advent, the 4 weeks of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. The first week is the concept of faith and its function in the developmental process. The second week is hope and the application of expectancy in the unfolding of spiritual understanding. The third week is joy and the significance of the feeling state. The fourth is love as the ultimate human experience and the Christ as awareness of divine love in human consciousness. Listen as we review the birth of Christ as the saving aspect of truth and inner dynamic, more on the role of the causal spiritual body as a practical guide for effective living. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and love with Christ-like compassion. So, Swami, so last week we did talk about preparation for spiritual consciousness. So it seems that now we're going to be talking about preparation, like we said in the summary, for the coming of the Messiah with these 4 weeks of Advent. So let's get started. Let's start talking maybe about faith.
Yeah, faith is a very specific thing. Because a lot of us confuse belief with faith, and belief is what gives thought power, as we have been teaching. But we can believe in anything, and in fact, we do believe in many things that are intrinsically bad, like sin, sickness, suffering, and death. Faith is belief in truth. The truth of being that there is but one divine presence. And if we can have fidelity to that divine presence, then it will change how we're thinking.
So how we're thinking, we know we've been talking about this in many shows, is really, I think, the starting point in any spiritual development. So like you always say, how we think is what we become. If we're thinking that we'll never have the sustenance, we'll potentially could never have it.
Right. But what we're talking about here is even above and beyond positive thinking. We're talking about forsaking all human thinking, striving, trying, believing for this divine knowing. Knowing this truth, and to abide in that truth until it demonstrates in your experience. That's what real faith is belief in that divine presence, independent of what is appearing in your five senses. Beyond that thought that you have is the truth of being, the perfection of being.
Now, would faith and trust almost be synonymous in this model?
Well, I think they can be. I mean, trust is an application, or it can be an application of your faith. But you must trust in this divine presence. Again, we can trust in anything. We can trust our human intuition. We can trust the testimony of our senses. But here we want to trust, and I really like what it says in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's something that really encourages us to move beyond sense-level living.
I know we had mentioned this saying before about man's version of trust and what God's version of trust is, and I wonder if you could give that saying to our listeners.
Yeah, man says, show and I will trust, and God says, trust and I will show.
Now, that could be a big leap for a lot of us. I think it's pretty much asking us to give up our sense of control over our lives. And that could be very challenging for a lot of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think the way that we go about this is that we do it in small steps. You change how you think, so you start to forsake your human thinking. And I really like what Ames Knoll says, that my new thoughts will be the thoughts of God, imaging forth the universe of God. Mary Baker Eddy says it in a different way, where she says to think with God as God. And basically, in order for us to do this, we really have to move out of material values, our material mentality, into spiritual sense. We really have to move out of identifying with what is visible and tangible, and even moving beyond what is invisible but tangible, the whole realm of thought, into divine presence, this perfection of being. We have to move out of duality. We have to move out of the belief in two powers into this spiritual presence, which what we will find to be surprising to find out is the only truth in this universe. It's the only thing that is real, the only thing that is self-existent.
As you were speaking, it reminded me of this other verse in the Bible, which is, take no thought for thine own self. And I think that could also be a pretty good place for us to start.
Right. And for a lot of us, that's a little bit of a surprise, especially today where we're all trying to think positively. Mary Baker Eddy understood this. And in her work, The Body, she actually says that it was a wonderful thing when man finally started to understand how his thoughts affected his external experiences. It affected your physical appearance. But she also goes on and says that for those that want to know the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, it doesn't go far enough, because you're still working with the changing conditions of your personal mentality, and you're not addressing the changeless state of being, divine mind. And for us to step out of these modes of mortal thinking into divine ideas is quite a quantum leap, because you're moving out of what is rational into what is infinite and absolute.
So basically, going back to what you were saying before, where our new thoughts will be the thoughts of God and not of anything in the material world.
Right. And God thinks in terms of the absolute. So divine idea does not report in our five sense mind. And so a lot of this preparation is really the cultivation of spiritual sense, to have this sensitivity and awareness for this invisible, intangible divine presence. And that is what the Christ represents. The Christ is what we had said in the opening, the saving aspect of truth. And Christ is what makes this divine presence intelligible to the human consciousness.
Well, we had said in the opening that the second week is hope and the application of expectancy and the unfolding of spiritual understanding. I'm kind of hoping that you could just kind of break that down for us.
Yeah, in the context of spirit, hope is more of a period of expectancy, waiting in silence and stillness for the truth to reveal itself. And we don't sit and beg or plead for some kind of divine intervention to make a sick body better, to make an adverse condition better, to make discord harmony. We don't hope to change finite bad back to finite good and then hope it stays. We really want to have this faith in the perfection of being, in divine creation. Our concept of hope now is just being patient for that truth to reveal itself as good health, as abundance, as harmony.
I think hope is also another one of those words that gets used a lot, and its true meaning has been diluted over the years. You know, even the simple phrase of responding to somebody and saying, "Well, I hope so," there's a lot more to that word than what we usually mean in our normal context of English.
Yeah, and we're talking senseless optimism. Here, when we say to rebuke the testimony of the senses, we are saying the senses testify falsely. We must know the truth of being. The only self-existent principle in this universe is spirit, and it is perfect, whole, eternal, changeless. And it's right here, right now, but we have to cultivate awareness of that presence.
What do we mean when we say in the opening, the expectancy? How does hope realize the expectancy of this unfolding of spiritual understanding?
Well, that's what I was saying. In our patience, as we sit in stillness and in silence and we listen, that's what we would consider to be hopeful. Rather than, like I had said a little bit earlier, rather than begging and pleading for some kind of divine intervention here, we are abiding in the truth that if you know the truth, that divine creation is perfect and it is the only power in this universe, but I must be conscious of its presence in order to activate it in my experience. And while I am holding that image in my consciousness, that's what I would call hope.
And if we do that, if we hold it in our consciousness and we come to the realization that everything we need, the Father already knows and provides for us, we really shouldn't be, like you said, struggling and striving and trying to make things happen.
Right. And that's where your faith outweighs your fear. So that you're looking at a situation and you know the truth. You're not saying the truth. You're not, again, as we would typically say, hoping that there's going to be something that's going to happen to make this better again.
So trust in that everything that we need is provided for us every minute of every day.
Right. And like we had said, senselessly, not trusting in this testimony of your five senses, but abiding in your spiritual sense, this truth that divine creation is perfect and it is held, controlled, and governed by the divine law of life.
Well, I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. And welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I guess we're on the third week, which is joy. And when I think of that, especially this time of the year, I think of that Christmas carol, Joy to the World. So what can you tell us about the third week of Advent, meaning joy?
Yeah, understanding that we are eternal spiritual beings means that we never die. We're never vulnerable to adversity. We're ever satisfied and always successful, perfect like your father. Now, to me, this is something to be happy about. And as we had said a little bit earlier, Christ is the saving principle of truth, and immortality is the message. And so this birth of Christ, this joy to the world, is the Lord has come. And basically for me, what that means is that it has come into view of my consciousness, that I now am aware of divine presence. And in this understanding, I am aware that I am an eternal spiritual being, forever held, controlled, and governed by divine law. And so I'm no longer under the government of material law. I'm out of the cycle of death and rebirth, and I'm out of the law of karma and into this divine law of life. And to me, that's what you want to be joyful about.
I was just going to ask you about the word joyful. So if you were to look at somebody, what would you look for behaviors that you would say, oh, that is a joyful person?
Well, I think somebody whose genuine feeling of happiness is coming from within and not because of something external. That your exchange of energy isn't that you're drawing in off of the outside world, but you have a connection with the invisible, intangible divine presence from within, and it is just pouring out from you. Again, this is what they call forgiving, as opposed to forgetting.
I wanted to ask you, there's two words I think that a lot of us might think are synonymous, and that's joy and happiness. Now, in this model, are they the same thing, or are we talking about two separate things here?
Well, I think we try and make distinctions, just like we make a difference between thought and idea. Joy is the happiness that stems from spiritual understanding. Eternal happiness stems from understanding ideas. Worldly happiness stems from understanding things, and intellectual happiness stems from understanding thoughts. So there's a little bit of a distinction here that goes on between these different words that we use, based on a deeper understanding that there's a big difference between spirit and matter.
Now, when you're talking about understanding ideas, you're talking about thoughts that would come from God, divine thoughts.
Right. The divine idea, which is what we said, that is what we would associate thoughts with how humanly we think. So in other words, when Mary Baker Eddy says that man is God's reflection, What she is really referring to is that man is God's idea, that man is a thought in divine mind. And it's always been very helpful for me to understand what is actually being said here was the way that C.S. Lewis talked about it when he said that he never thought it possible to have a personal relationship with God. In the same way, he never thought that Hamlet could know Shakespeare. And so we are to God what Hamlet is to Shakespeare. Only Hamlet is a mortal creature, and you're dealing with Shakespeare, who is also a finite, mortal, corporeal being. And now we're moving into the realms of spirit. So we're moving out of what is visible and tangible into what is invisible. And when we're talking about thoughts, they're tangible. But when we're talking about divine idea, they're invisible and intangible.
Well, in our summary for today's show, I had read earlier that the third week is joy and the significance of the feeling state. So I'm wondering if maybe, again, you could break it down for us.
Yeah, I think some of the terms that we associate with happiness is being light and easy. What we have been talking about is filling human consciousness with these divine ideas that make our thoughts more buoyant. So when we feel light and buoyant, that we are closer to the divine than we are to the material.
Last week, the fourth week is about love. So let's unbox that for everybody. Now, that's a word, like I was saying, kind of like hope and joy, where it might mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. But let's talk about what it means in this model.
Yeah, again, love is one of those all-encompassing words that means anything to anybody, but in this particular model, we refer to it as unconditional giving, that this spiritual identity is forgiving. It is that your exchange of energy is that you are connected to something that is invisible, intangible, inexhaustible, and your exchange of energy is outward, you're giving. The concept of love really can be interchangeable with the word charity, but divine love is not the same as human love. And oftentimes we use our human law of attraction sometimes, that whatever it is that I am attracted to, we think that we love. But this is a very different dynamic. Like I said, it's not about getting, it's all about giving. And divine love is the essential force of life. Love is interchangeable with life. And it is the most precious gift of all. And at the same time, it is the most available principle, that this divine love is everywhere and in everything. And it is being dispensed without any discrimination. That divine presence, divine love is here, independent of what your appearance might seem to be.
And this is definitely something that we don't look for outside of ourselves. It's something that is internal.
Right.
And eternal, I suppose.
Right. And oftentimes that's what a lot of us are doing, is we're looking outside of ourselves. And oftentimes as a result, we're identifying lesser experiences with this true mystical state of being, this communion with the divine.
Well, we had said in the opening that the fourth week is love as the ultimate human experience. And that, to me, definitely denotes something that's much more powerful than what we would normally be existing through every day.
Now, an example that we have here in our notes comes from Bicknell Young in his work called Addresses. And it is told of a man who went to see a practitioner and said to him, "Christian Science says divine love meets every human need. Why haven't I been healed?" The practitioner said to him, "Where is your divine love?" Then the article goes on and he says, "Mrs. Eddy always worked from the standpoint that disease could not stand where love is. We need not only to believe in love, but to live in love, to be love, and to know that there is no other being than love. Love is the acme of all things, and love is the divine principle of all being, the mind that is God, and the life that is man. Love is the only essential principle of the universe, and you cannot go beyond principle."
So let's just unbox that just a little bit. So you had said that we need not only to believe in love, but to live in love and to be love. So what does that look like when we're doing it?
Yeah, we must live and move and have our being in this divine presence, in this truth of being. In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, Mary Baker Eddy says, "God will heal the sick through man whenever man is governed by God." So when we forsake all our human thinking, trying, and striving, and we make our mind an avenue of awareness for divine mind, in our silence, in our stillness, we let divine mind take over the scientific government of our being. And from this vantage point, now we are able to elevate our thought so we can find that place where individual thought is the same as divine idea. And that has a profound effect on the external appearance of what is before us.
So, Swami, let's review the birth of Christ as the saving aspect of truth, this inner dynamic.
Yeah, see, as we start to awaken to this spirit within, and we start to identify with it, and it starts to change who we think we are, then as we're moving from material identity, a belief that I am a mortal creature, into the understanding that you are immortal spirit. And then, like we had said in the opening, we want to focus more on the role of the causal spiritual body. When spirit is cause, creation is perfect. And that's why it becomes a practical guide for highly effective living. That to know yourself in the way that you are known by the Creator is possibly the best thing you can do, not only for yourself, but for anyone else that is in your consciousness.
Well, with that, it's time to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And then once you're there, three quarters of the way down on the homepage, you'll see a section titled Swami Says Recent Posts. Well, you see this show listed as well as some others underneath. You just click those on and further your spiritual understandings and development. Don't forget, clicking on the online classes tab will get you to Swami's free webinars that he has every Wednesdays at noon. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I definitely would like to encourage everybody today to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah and to really look forward to expressing your faith, your hope, your joy, and love. And with that, namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.